Are you getting the point I'm making? I'm trying to explain something here. Now, you know, initially I was defining two things. One, what I meant when I said the vow of poverty and the ministry of wealth. I'm explaining now what I mean by the ministry of wealth. That wealth is a ministry. God gives it to people. You know the interesting part? Let me just say this. If you learned Christianity the way I did then, the impression you will have is that God gives things to his children so that they will become the finest. Are you getting my point? That like the richest man in the world should be a child of God. You know the interesting part? God doesn't do that. You know what God does? He gives things to people according to what he knows they will do with it. Do you get the point? Listen, these days software is quite cheap, relatively. It's quite cheap. Most software, they are very cheap. Now, look, they just telling me the other day about one of the engineering software that they use to let you know the cost of software. The one they use for electrical designs, all right, for designing power stations, power grids, distribution systems, and all of that. So it's sold for 25,000 euro. Did you hear what I said? Yes. And the way it is done, you can't clone it. You can't copy the CD and go use it somewhere else. It's not possible. It's only 5,000 euro. Now, what am I trying to say? Believe me, the common software we use is very, very cheap now. Word editing software, Bill Gates puts it free with Windows. It's only if you want Office that you need to pay money. All right? But if you are Chinese or Nigerian, you don't even pay at all. You understand what I'm going to say? And the man doesn't really worry. He shouldn't. It's called gleanings. It's gleaning. That's not the thing. All big companies in Nigeria, they pay for all Microsoft products they use. You don't use it for free. Otherwise, you're looking for trouble. But all the ones that small boys and girls use, okay, it's gleaning. You know, you read the Bible, it's called gleaning. Nobody bothers. What I'm trying to explain is this. Do you know one of the reasons why software is as cheap as it is? And I just feel like telling more stories. You know, the software we use for Kingdom World Work is called WavePad. Once I asked a brother, you know, we used to record our messages. For those of you who were here at the beginning, where's Kingsley? All those boys, they are not here today. Those days, Deji, my brother, was the chief engineer. All this wire running up and down. It was Deji's work. And the recording, we'll have carried our battery, we'll come upstairs, plug to our small deck, and then, we start recording. Very funny messages on tape, but they're all on tape. One day I said, let's convert this into digital format. That's when we started digital format. So Deji and I reasoned. The only one we had was Music Match. Music Match did not allow you edit. It could convert to you to MP3 from ordinary cassette tape. Just wire your system and then to convert to MP3. But then because of power failure and all of that, it will take, once you interrupt it, it starts saving the file. So I said, look, I needed something that could edit. So somebody now mentioned that Susan and Superson has a software that edits. Maybe you should contact him. I contacted the brother. When he started speaking one long grammar, then I guess now maybe it was the spirit of God. I just said, what's all of this? What's Google doing? I mean, what's the job of Google? I just went to the cyber cafe. There, just Google. I remember the keywords I typed in. I typed in MP3, audio, software, edit, free, download. Those are my keywords. I hit enter. WavePad was number one on the list. And he said, look, this thing is fully functional, except you want to upgrade to the master's edition. Yes, master's edition. That is fully functional. And my brother, since then till now, it has been fully functional. First time I took our message to Cosmo FM, I remember what Oke said. Oke said that most of the adverts we get from Lagos are not this good, that for quality. So where do you do this? I said, in my house, on my system. What do you use? Many people have popularized WavePad now. People will phone me. Sir, what do you use to edit? I said, WavePad. Hey, can I come and collect it? I said, you don't need to. Just go nearby to one server. It's free. I'll give them the website. Download it for free. Everything is, you know, it's so easy. Now, let me get back to my gist. Now, I don't know the details of the history of software development, all right? But one thing I know for sure is that one of the reasons why software became free was because of Bill Gates. After Windows, I think 95, the man started bundling things. Remember, he killed Netscape by bundling Internet Explorer with Windows 98. The moment he released Windows 98, the moment they started shipping Windows 98, Netscape share price tumbled because Netscape was founded upon Navigator was their internet software, internet exploring software. So that was the end of Navigator, the release of Internet Explorer. Instantly, Netscape, antitrust. This is predatory activities. Other one, I just Netscape was dead. American Online bought them up for small money. Now, since then, who will sell you internet browsing software? Nobody does. Everything is free now. Mozilla Firefox is free. Opera, free. All of them free. Because of somebody called Bill Gates. What am I trying to say? God doesn't give people wealth because they are his children. He gives them wealth because of what they will do with it. I was telling you something about the issue of capitalism. What fools do at the end, they actually things that wise men did at the beginning. I forgot to complete what I was telling you. What I learned about is that the principle behind capitalism is that, yes, we are created equal, but we don't perform equally. Therefore, in the society, we allow money go to those that know how to handle it. You've heard this analogy before, this explanation, that if you gave everybody here maybe like 1,000 naira each, come back at the end of the week. Maybe they are, let's say you go to a town and you give everybody 1,000 naira each, like that funny fellow who contested the presidential election last time, who said he would give every Nigerian 1 million naira. I said, this guy is obviously very ignorant. Their theory is at the end of 1 month, of the 1 million naira you give to each Nigerian, and there are 140 million of them, thereabout, right? At the end of 1 month, 1% of them, all right, will have gathered all the money from other people. They won't steal it. They will just think, others will think, man, 1 million, time to enjoy. Some will say, 1 million. Everybody has 1 million. They need to buy something now. That's what they are thinking. As people are saying that, let's go and enjoy, some say, let us create where they can enjoy. So some will take their money, instead of using it to enjoy, they will just go somewhere, fence a place around, buy barbecue stuff, you know, and they hire one aboki to be roasting suya on one side, and they're selling pepper soup on this side, and selling beer there, and you will come with your 1 million naira. He has used his own 1 million, maybe three of them, gather their 1 million each. They will do that thing beautifully for 3 million naira, and then they are empty. Then they will start waiting. Then all of you will come, tithe an offering at the door. If you will tithe your 1 million at the door, 100,000. At the end of 1 month, the guys have 300 million naira each. Listen, communism is trying to kick against the pricks. You know what Paul called, what Jesus told Paul? You are kicking against some things that God has ordained. Men are not equal. They are not. They have differing abilities when it comes to handling substance. Therefore, what the capitalists did was to allow the men who could handle it to get it. The way they structured the laws, when I heard somebody preach about it, then I read, you know, read around a bit, heard some stories here and there. The idea is that generate resources. When you have done it, now that you have done it because we allowed you in a society to do it, then you owe the society to use that money to bless everybody. That's why I said God loves everybody equally. The man who can generate cash from everybody else who's blowing their own, God said, I know you can do it. But the children of the men who don't know how to do it, they need to go to school. So what do you do? Hey, you build schools. That's why after Rockefeller made all the money possible, everywhere, all over the world, his own was education. He liked to educate people. So you find them sponsoring the building of libraries everywhere. That's how they do it. One of them said he died poorly, that died rich. That is, the idea is that when the society has given you the opportunity to use your skill to generate wealth, then when you finish, at the end of your days, if you see their culture there, they start distributing the wealth back to the society. That's why, you know, it's interesting. The place where I went for a course, you know, Texas Medical Center, they call the area. You know, trust me, now that's how I look at things. Just look around. Everything there is named after one very rich man of those days. The building where I worked was called MD Anderson Cancer Center. The whole structure, the very building, all right, was called the Alkek Building. Was donated by one Mr. and Mrs. something Alkek. It's not a small house. You turn the corner, you see another building. These are men who made money there, and they say, at the end of the day, what do we do? Well, why is cancer killing everybody? So MD Anderson said he wants to see the end of cancer. So hundreds of millions of dollars. Do you get the point? Do you know why all these funny black rich boys in America, why they always get into trouble? They never get sense. They never get sense. A charitable giver hardly gets into trouble. No, believe me. When he wants to get into trouble, the guy, they will call themselves and say, look, this man can't enter trouble. How can I enter trouble? Who will finish that bill? They will call you behind and say, oh, God, we are watching. You're about to commit a crime. Don't now. But if all you are doing is building a whole house that has only clothes and going around feeling cool, wearing jewelry, you know, driving expensive cars, the policeman will look, and say, this crook has not committed any crime. I say, oh, God, his girlfriend is 16-year-old. He said, no, it's not. She's not 16. She's 15 and a half. Say, yes. They quickly arrest him. Statutory rape. He's going to jail. Just because it made him play basketball, he's jumping. And we gave him $50 million. Thief. Well, anyway, let's leave that one aside. The point is that, you see, no, really, I was talking with a friend yesterday, that my friend, the pastor man that I was telling you about yesterday evening. We said that when we look at justice in life, we really don't understand how God runs justice. We just look and say, this is unfair. You know, like, something happens to somebody. Maybe like this last election, he was saying now, that there are people that they were rigged out of election, all right? They know they were rigged out. The person who rigged the election knows that he rigged the election. In fact, we all know the election was rigged. Except that try what you like to try. The election is standing rigged. He now said something. He said, this is just the judgment of God, or how God does justice that you don't know. He mentioned the name of the guy in his own state who was rigged out. He said, possibly in his history, he said, now you are trusting on justice and fair play to get your right. He said, look back. How many times have you stepped on that justice and fair play and defrauded somebody else? He told me that there was a calamity that happened in his area. A senator from that area, his house caught fire. His wife and I think two or three children were burnt in the house. He said, then he remembered that a man of God that lived near there, and lived in that senatorial district, one day that man's boys, they were putting up posters on the wall. And he had just painted the wall of the house where he lives there and is the caretaker of the building. So he told them that, look, these walls have just been painted. I don't think it would be nice for you guys to stick up posters on them. You are defacing the wall. They started beating him. So he saw one of their supervisors who looked more responsible. So he walked up to the man to explain what the problem is. Look, I didn't tell this guy, I didn't even tell them, don't put the posters. I'm just trying to explain to them that, look, I just painted this building. You know what the man said to him? He said to his boys, it's because he's still alive. That's why he's talking. So they descended on him again. So that's when it dawned on the man that they're about to kill him. So he ran for his life. He said for the next 3 weeks, or I forgot how many weeks, he couldn't see out of one eye for the amount of beating they gave him. You know the confirmation that they really were going to kill him? They killed somebody else like that. For that kind of, we want to put our posters, and you say no. How dare you? So God just looked at the man in charge. He said, let me show you what it means to kill. As soon as he settled down in the House of Senate, he killed his wife and his children. So you see how it feels? you are getting my point? Look, God's sense of justice, the way God does his own thing. Well, let's sit on our message, Joe. It is not because you have learned some skill. Solomon said that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong. He said it is time and chance that overtake men when you look at it under the sun. But Paul said it is of God that shows mercy. When we look at it above the sun, look at it from the heavens, you will see that it is of God that shows mercy. Are you getting my point? And that God shows mercy, not just because this is a child of God. No. The prodigal son made a statement. He said, I have found out that in my father's house, the servants are better taken care of than I am right now. That is, those who serve are more important than those who call themselves sons and they are working uselessly. You know, you've heard me teach on this message again and again, what I call the sons that serve. That God never brags on, this is my son. No, he said, this is my beloved son. What's the next statement? In whom I'm well pleased. That was a statement given after an examination. Are you getting my point? It wasn't that this is my beloved son. No, it's in whom I'm well pleased. That there are things he has done that makes him well pleasing to me. He said, Timothy has served with me in the course of this gospel like a son serves his father, Paul said. And if you read Malachi, he said, I will spare them like a man spares his son that serves him. God gives wealth to people because of what they will do with it, not because they learned confession. In Jesus' name, I confess. Listen, confessions, all those things work. I'm not saying they don't. It's where they work that I want to, you know, I said I wanted to share something with us and then I will close with that. Let me show you the principle there. Let me remind us again, what I want to share briefly, which is more like an introduction to the whole thing, or this whole series, is the same thing I preached on that message, which I titled, To Rule Over Cities. I just want to explain it as the beginning of this series and then we'll continue from there next time. I hope you have learned something today so far. Don't forget, the vow of poverty means that you must treat material things like they are just tools. You are not attached to them in any form. And let me say this briefly. It's not just story. We will teach and teach and teach. Then you really learn your lessons when you have been tested. Because one of the things I taught in that book, I said sometimes Isaacs die. That in fact, it's not sometimes, most times. When God says sacrifice Isaac, you will kill the Isaac. Don't be fooled by the fact that Abraham didn't kill Isaac. God saw that he had killed Isaac, so he raised him up again. That's what happened to Abraham. What am I trying to say? When we say that is what you do that matters. Have you taken the vow of poverty? Listen, after we have taught the messages and taught it, then your personal life, God will begin to test you. You will love something so much, he will take it away from you. It's not only thieves that steal, angels do. Did you hear what I said? Oh, God. I will explain what I'm saying as we go on. I'm just trying to say that each person will be tested. And please, let me say this quickly. This is just by the way. Every experience in life, God is watching out to see your response. You hear what I said? Every experience, most of them bad, occasionally good. In all of it, God is watching out to see your response. It's what you say as a result of your experience that decides where God is lifting you up tomorrow. When Job was tested, what did God say? What did the Bible say about it? He said, everything Job did not sin with his mouth. That is, they were listening and they were listening. Do you know that was all that story, all the activity around Job was to check what will he say? Is that okay? I'm saying that after you've learned the lessons, listen, in life, God will test you. Now, we'll talk about some things about, like we're talking about ministry of wealth. Is how you handle little. The Bible says, he that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. And I say, God gives much because of what he knows you will do with it. Do you get my point? And the time he checks what you will do with it is what you did with little. You get the point. Now, let's read this. Luke chapter 19. From verse 11. Now my Bible heads that section, New American Standard, Parable of Money Usage. That's what they called it. 11 says, while they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. So he said, verse 12, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves, that is, as he was leaving, and gave them 10 minas. It's a unit of money measurement, all right? And said to them, do business with this until I come back. Now, verse 14 says, but his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared saying, master, your mina had made 10 minas more. You know the whole story now. And he said to him in verse 17, well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. The second came and said, I've made 5 extra. And he said, with the same principle again, verse 19, I put you over 5 cities. And then the other one, the last one came and said, I put your money in a handkerchief and all of that and all of that. Now, what I wanted to notice here is this. If you have not listened to that message, you can still listen to it because I shared with a different kind of unction when I was teaching that one. Is that you notice something here? He was going to receive a kingdom for himself. And inside that kingdom, there were cities. Are you getting my point? We know for sure, at least from here, that there were at least 15 cities. Are you getting me? Because he gave one man authority over 10 cities, another one over 5. But there obviously were many more cities. Okay? Because you see something. If you go further down, you see that the man who hid the single one that he gave him and gave it back untouched, the master said, take that one he has and give to the man that had 10. And they said, he has 10 already. He said, look, to whom that has will more be given. All right? And he said, the one that does not have will take from him. Now, what we used to think before is that he that has 10 plates of rice to eat shall have an extra plate. But he that didn't have any plate of rice, the other only one will take that one plate of rice and give to the man that has 10. Now, from what we have said so far, you know that's not the point. It's a matter of what? Responsibility. It's what the man could handle. So the man, to him that had 10 cities, an extra city will be added. Are you getting the logic here? Now, this is what I want you to understand. When the man gave them the money and said, go and do business, he was not concerned about the amount of money they will make, primarily. He was using that as a test of how many cities they will be able to rule over. Did you get my point? His primary concern was not how much money they made, but how much they would demonstrate their abilities to rule over cities. Are you getting my point? It wasn't as if he wanted more money. He wanted each person to demonstrate his commitment to doing business, and that with that, he will choose the number of cities you are able to lord over, because he was going to receive a kingdom, and there were many cities in the kingdom. And he wasn't going to rule it by himself. So he said, okay, how do I decide who will be over which city? What do? I give them money. Go and use money. Then when they came back and said, see what we did with the money, they're very fine. That means this man that was able to multiply his money 10 times will be able to handle 10 cities. It was a very simple logic. Now, this is what I want you to understand. The slaves of that man, do you think they had visions of ruling over cities? Let's just think about it for a moment. No. But when they gave them money to do business, they began to have visions. Are you getting my point? This 1 minute that master has given us. They began to have visions. So they began to plan business. Let's go to this country. Let's buy this. When we get here, we'll make this. Okay, we'll buy gold here. We'll buy wood there. Then we'll make good ornaments. They can decorate homes with it. Let's start making designs of homes. And the money kept on increasing. And they kept on pressing on, and the money kept on increasing. Now, their vision was limited to what money could buy. Are you getting my point? Their visions were limited to what money could do. But what God planned for them was the number of cities they will rule over. I don't know whether you are getting my point. What I'm going to say is this. Sometimes we learn principles, and I want you to get this very clear. You can dream all the dreams you want. You can get 10,000 naira and plan all the kinds of business you want to plan. Believe me, it does not in any way give you an idea of where God will take you to in life. Do you get the point? Say, Pastor Banky, how will I know it? When you get there, you will find out. That's the summary. Let me explain again. All the days that Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, he was being trained by God to become prime minister in Egypt, but he had no idea. I told you that all your experiences in life, be very careful how you handle them. When they threw him into jail, he could have sat in the jail and be angry. God, my father saved you. My grandfather saved you. You called my great-grandfather. Since I was young, I have obeyed you. This is injustice. That I am here, you are not a good person. He crossed his leg, go, ha! Some people will be there crying. Say, what? You are crying. You think you have suffered. Let me tell you my story. I dreamt. You are dreaming. I have been dreaming since I was a child. Don't just worry me with your dream. With every one of that talk, believe me, you know what is happening? He's getting further and further away from the throne in Egypt. What am I trying to say? Sometimes, you know, in fact, this was what my friend and I were discussing yesterday. There are people you forgive, that forgiveness, no, ordinary forgiveness. In fact, there's a story, if I tell you the story now, you will laugh. I forgave somebody or something when I was, I think, 15 years old. The guy hurt me badly. And I knew what I would do to get even. You know, don't ever think you're too powerful for somebody. Some very, very small people, all right, they are very dangerous. How many of you know Tafa Balogun? You know, he was the IG of police, Inspector General, the top, the tippy-tippy top policeman in Nigeria. The only policeman higher than him was the president. You know why he lost his job and they took him in handcuffs out of his office? Because of one small man who stole 5 million naira from him, and he decided to imprison a man and torture him and punish him. God said, 5 million. All right. You that stole 50 billion, what do we do with you now? No, small, that small guy was the one that started his problems. Now, this man, guy, this story that was, this thing I was telling you that happened, I won't give you the details, but I remembered it recently, that's how I'm saying it. I remember that day, I remembered it. This guy did me something, he pained me very well. And I knew what to do to hurt him badly. And I was thinking like a mafia man. I was very small. I was 15. I'm telling you, I was 15 years old. Literally 15. And I knew what to do to injure the guy badly. I won't tell you, in case you're an evil person, you'll go and use it for somebody else. And I was happy that I would do it and it would pain him. And that would be the most beautiful thing, part of it. He wouldn't know it was me. That he would be suffering in my presence every day and he wouldn't know I'm the one punishing him like this. And then that day, we're supposed to go for fellowship. Either that day or the next day. And I told myself, I won't go. Because if I go, I will forgive him. So I said, I'm not going to go. I remember very well. Then I said, no, I cannot refuse to go. You know why I didn't want to go? God is my... I remember this in just a few days ago. I said, if I go, I will forgive this boy. And he shouldn't go scot-free. What he has done is bad. And the summary of it was that I felt that this guy did what he did because he felt he was big and I was small. And I said, God, I need to show him that, look, the ant may be small, but if he entered the nose of elephant, forget to. You know those dangerous black ants? Can be small, but may one crawl, enter, just enter inside, begin bite elephant from inside. What do you go do? You do, you can't, elephant doesn't have finger too. Now frustration go kill the elephant. And I felt that, good Lord, we should teach this guy this lesson. This guy shouldn't go scoffing like this. But I remember very well, as I was going to that fellowship that evening, I started praying, God, don't ask me to forgive him. You understand that this guy needs to be punished. As I was stepping in, I knew I had to forgive him. As I began praise, worship, and everything, I knew this guy had to be forgiven. So when they were preaching, I forgave him, and I felt very bad about it. It happened to everybody. There's something you had. You know, once you go into God's presence, God has started again. So you will avoid it. There are a lot of men who drink for that reason. Say, this God, he has started again. There are people who don't go to church for that reason. Because once they go near, when they say, praise the Lord, Holy Spirit say, now that we have your attention, that matter, what are we going to do? So the person will go, I'm going. So you'll be begging, come to church now, you know, go Greek come. Come for fellowship now, you know, go Greek. Bible study, okay. We just next, hey, you don't understand what the fellow is fighting. Are you getting the point? That day, now, what I'm saying that is very interesting. I remember a few days ago, I said, look, do you know, why did I forgive that guy? It was now looking back, something small, but then it wasn't small to me. And those are the things that God counts. I forgive him only because I said God will demand of it. He will demand it. That when I get to fellowship, God will demand that I forgive this man. And it's paining me, but I'm going to forgive him. It might interest you. I remember a few days ago. I don't know why I'm even telling you the story now. But I remembered it and I said, those are the things that God adds. You'll be surprised. He adds one thing like that to another and he makes you a worldwide minister. You will think it's because you studied. I don't know whether you get my point. You will think it's because, look, I read the Bible cover to cover. Man, I could quote 3/4 of the whole Bible off head without thinking. That was why I became an internationally renowned minister. God said, shut up. Let me tell you why I did it. One day, everybody was rushing somewhere. There was an opportunity to get a good job or enter a good school. Then you saw somebody who lost his way. And you took the 1 hour to take him to where he was going. Instead of pursuing your own business, I saw your heart and I said, you're a good person. You will help the lost. So I made you like this so that you might teach people direction in life. That is why I said the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man sowed. He said he himself does not know how. He collects the harvest. He doesn't know exactly when he sowed the seed. My friend who and I were just in yesterday told me a story of one man. He said this guy, that he's keeping the man close because he's afraid for that guy. That the amount of anointing in that guy's hand, he said that guy does not know anything, scripture-wise. He said once he starts talking Bible, he gets lost. He's a believer. He said, but people come from far and wide. Now, get my point. He's a refrigerator repairman. He repairs refrigerators. He's so broke that recently he went to register his car as Kabu Kabu somewhere to be making extra money to tie ends together. Are you getting my point? He said, but that man won't pray for a woman who wants to have children and she won't have. People come to his shop where he's trying to fix one fridge to another. Good morning, sir. Oh, God, they say we should come and meet you there if you pray. And the man just dreams of all kinds of wild things. He will carry water, pray over it, and say, drink this water for 3 days. At the end of 3 days, if you want to have period, better have it before the end of those 3 days. Because next 9 months, you are delivering children. No, I'm serious. No, that's how he said. My friend, he knows. He said, look, he knows that it's not because of knowledge. Because the guy doesn't know anything. He and I were talking last night. He said there are things he knows that guy must have done that God used as an excuse to pour that on because it's an anointing. So he's afraid because, you know, a lot of Satans who call themselves Christians are in town now. They will tell the man, you are broke, you are doing kabuka, man of God like you. With all this anointing, you know, next thing he'll start charging. Next thing he'll start using to raise money. No, so my friend, he's afraid for that. So he keeps the guy close and, you know, they share together. He prays with him, teaches him the scriptures because knowledge and stability and wisdom is the only hope for stability for that guy. What am I trying to say? Why does God put such things upon people? Most times you don't know why. Ken Hagin told the story of when a preacher stopped at his door. He didn't know that the reason why the man stopped there was because that was the last place his money could take him to. So maybe like you're entering bus. It's okay. You're going to Lagos, but you reach the park. It's Christmas time. Your family day Lagos. You can't preach for Enugu. You reach the park. Lagos, 3,005. Ah! The last people you went to preach for, all they gave you was 2,000 naira, of which you don't take and chop from to park. It remain 1,500. So you look 1,500. Of all the buses around, the only one that will take 1,500 from you is the one going to Benin. So you reason, Benin at least is closer than Lagos. So you enter the one going to Benin. So when you reach Benin, you say, I have one pastor here, a pastor friend. His name is John. Let me go and see Pastor John. Pastor John did not know it was because of, you know what I'm trying to say, acute severe pocketitis that you stopped at his door. Hagin said that was what happened to him. The man stopped at his door. He didn't know because the man was severely broke. Because in his spirit, he kept on hearing, give this man this amount of money. He said, how can I give him this amount of money? I don't have money myself. It's Christmas time. I have to buy things for my kids. He said, but the thing was so strong in him, he knew it was God. So he told the man, okay, come and preach. The man preached. They raised offering for him. The money didn't reach anything. All the money that he had personally left, he put it inside and gave the man. And the man was very happy. You see, that money was enough to get that guy back to his own base, Lagos as an example, and buy things for his wife and his own kids also. And those people had a good Christmas. You know, Paul talked about many thanksgiving arising to God because of you. Are you getting the point? He said, well, here he was. He too had wife and children. He said, but God met his needs through different ways also. And then he had enough money to take care of himself. Then much later, somebody was sick. I think so seriously sick. Either crippled or at the point of death. He and his wife went to go and pray for the woman. And as soon as they laid hand on the woman, the power of God came down literally and ripped that woman off her chair and she became well. So they were going back home rejoicing. And God said, do you know the only reason I was able to do that You say, why? Because of that man that stopped and you gave money. He will have forgotten. It was later that man told him that, Oga, I stopped at your door because I couldn't go anywhere else. It wasn't out of love for you or your church or anything. Are you getting my point? Now, what am I going to say? They gave these guys money. Do business till I come back. In life, God gives you little things to do until he comes back. Those are the things he's using to decide where you will get to in life. It's not all the book you read in school. You can do 10 MBAs. All right? You know all MBAs do for you? They get you good jobs. And the man still taking jobs alone is still the tail. It's not the head. The head is the boss. Are you getting my point? No matter how much they pay you, if all you collect is salary, you are the tail. The boss is the head. You can confess it 10 times the way you like, I'm the head and not the tail. The boss is the head. He pays the salary. I know what I'm telling you. I know what I'm saying. I'm not saying jobs are bad. You know, you all know I have a job. Do you get my point? But in life, you must always, you know, dream big. You know, I don't have time. Because of time, I want to close. Because maybe later I'll go on to it. Because there's something that I have realized that, look, there's something that you can do more than anybody else. Don't let money deceive you into not doing it. That is the only place where you can be the head. As long as you are keen up where somebody else is the head, you cannot. There cannot be two heads in one company. Can there be? It's not possible. There can't be two heads in one company. There can only be one head. So anybody else is somewhere between the neck and the tail. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? But let me just summarize this in one statement. The point I'm making here is this. The guys became rulers over cities according to what they could do with money. In the same manner, there are little things that God gives you every day. They are the things that decide exactly where God will place you. Listen, the greatest men on earth and greatest women on earth are listening to me tonight. Do you get my point? Yes, but where you will be really great, you probably have no idea yet. But once God has given you money, when I say money now, it could be a talent, it could be an idea, it could be something. That one he has given you, he said multiply it. Do you get my point? That thing he has given you right now, it may not appear big. He said, listen, I rule in the affairs of men. I've given you a small business. Do it well. I've given you a small job. Make sure your boss can't sleep if he doesn't see you. That is, for the amount of efficiency you have pumped into your job. Those are the little monies that we're talking about. When you have finished, then I will personally set you as Lord over 10 cities. Do you get that point? Have you learned anything tonight? Yes, sir. Have you learned anything? All right, if that is so, then let us begin to give God thanks. I have.